Frank closed the door of the jail behind him and stepped out onto the boardwalk, looking up and down the street.
Morning, Deputy Morgan.
Morning, ma'am.
It's a beautiful morning, isn't it, Deputy?
Sure is, ma'am. And would you please call me Frank?
Only if you call me Lara.
That'd be my pleasure, ma'am. Lara.
Thank you, Frank.
How's that boy of yours?
Which one?
Beg pardon?
Forgive me, but sometimes my husband behaves like a little boy. A mean, spiteful little boy.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, I shouldn't burden you with my problems.
I don't mind a bit, Lara.
You're entirely too easy to talk to, Frank.
Big Ed Simpson might not agree with you about that.
That man is a pig. I despise him. And his wife is so foul-mouthed, few women in town will have anything to do with her.
So I heard.
Oh?
Tom told me.
Tom is a fine man. He's a good marshal. People didn't think so until the day he stood up to Ed Simpson. Feelings changed after that.
I heard he backed him down.
He sure did. It was a pleasure to see.
You saw it?
Yes, much of the town did. It was a sight to behold, and that is a fact. Big Ed facing Marshal Tom with a shotgun in his hands. Ed swore he'd kill him for that. But obviously that didn't happen. My husband says you are a vicious killer, Frank. Is he correct in that assumption?
I certainly don't think so.
But you have killed men?
Yeah, of course. But they were trying to kill me.
Well, you were defending yourself then?
Yes.
Were you ever married, Frank?
Once. My wife is dead.
Yes. I read about that in some magazine. Tragic. And you have a son.
Who doesn't want anything to do with me?
I read that as well. That's so sad.
I don't give it much thought anymore. He's a man grown now. It's his decision to make.
Yes. Well. Would you walk me back to my house, Frank?
Of course. It'd be my pleasure.
Frank took Lara's arm, and they began strolling up the boardwalk. They were greeted by merchants and customers alike as they walked slowly up the town's main street, and received many curious looks.
People are going to talk about this, Lara.
Let them. I'm used to people talking about me.
Huh?
We'll discuss that some other time.
As you wish.
Hey! What the hell is that?
Frank and Lara turned to look.
Is that a woman riding that mule astride?
Yeah, and she's carrying a shotgun.
She looks like a witch.
Close enough. That's Alberta Davis, from a little town called Deweyville.
What in the world is she doing here?
Looking for Val Dooley, I imagine.
Why?
She's sweet on him.
Val Dooley is sweet on that pathetic-looking person? You can't be serious.
No, Lara. She is sweet on him.
How do you know all that?
It's a long story, believe me.
You simply must tell me about it sometime.
I see you, Val Dooley!
He thinks I'm Val Dooley.
Oh.
Val Dooley, you whore-chasing no good!
Did that woman just call me a whore? The nerve of her! How dare she?
I don't believe she was specifically referring to you, Lara.
I'll give that skinny trollop a piece of my mind! You'll pay for toying with my affections, Val Dooley!
Alberta leveled the old repeat shotgun.
I'm not Val Dooley, dammit!
How dare you curse me!
I believe that woman is going to fire that weapon.
I hope not.
I waited for you, Val! I waited and waited, and you left me in the lurch, you sorry piece of white trash!
Now hold on, Alberta. I tell you, I am not Val Dooley. I just look a lot like him.
Liar, liar, pants on fire!
Alberta put her heels to the mule, and the mule started running.
Oh, hell.
Damn you!
Frank grabbed Laura and jumped through the door of the barbershop.
Here's one more to remember me by, sweetie!
What the hell's going on? Who is that crazy woman?
Alberta Davis. Her brother is the sheriff over in Deweyville.
Woman called me a whore.
Well, her brother damn sure better come get her before somebody puts some lead in her.
The shotgun boomed again just as Frank was getting to his knees to look out the window. The buckshot tore off the hanging sign in front of the boots and saddle shop and sent the owner scrambling for cover. Marshal Tom Wright came running out of O'Malley's general store, and Alberta spotted him and swung the shotgun to Bear.
You see here, lady? We'll have none of that in this town. I won't tolerate such nonsense. Now you put that shotgun in. Oh, shit!
Tom hauled his butt back into O'Malley's.
You're a menace, woman!
You can take any remarks you have to make and shove them up that fat ass of yours. Sideways! Now get!
Alberta turned her mule toward the barber shop.
Is that crazy female coming over here?
Looks like it.
Well, do something, deputy!
You want me to shoot her?
Well, no, not really, but can't you talk to her?
I'll try.
Alberta! It's me, Frank Morgan.
Liar, liar, pants on fire! You're my Val, that's who you are!
I'm not Val Dooley. Alberta, I can prove it.
Never, never! You're my Val, and if I can't have you, no one will. Get up!
Alberta put her heels to the mule's side and loped away. She was out of sight a moment later. Marshal Wright stepped out of O'Malley's and cautiously looked all around him, just as Frank and Laura came out of the barber shop.
Frank, do you know that woman?
Her brother is a sheriff over at Deweyville. Davis is his name.
That's Val Dooley's hometown!
Are you all right, Laura?
I'm fine. That was quite an experience, Frank.
Do you want me to see you home?
No, I've changed my mind. I believe I'll do some shopping instead. But thank you for saving my life. I'll think of some way to repay you.
No need for that.
Oh, but I insist. I'll give it some thought.
Frank watched her slowly sashay away. He pulled his eyes from Laura's retreating figure as Tom stepped up onto the boardwalk.
I'm gonna get a posse together and try and catch that crazy woman, Frank. You take care of things here in town.
All right, Tom. Be careful. Alberta is unbalanced.
Well, that ain't exactly the word I'd use, but I reckon it'll do.
The marshal walked away, heading for the livery. Frank strolled over to the jail, stoked up the stove, and made a pot. While the water was heating, he checked on Little Ed.
What the hell was all that shooting?
A crazy woman. You want a cup of coffee?
I want to get out of here!
I'll cut you loose as soon as your father shows up and posts bail for both of you.
God damn it, Morgan, you're a dead man. I'm gonna spit on your grave. My pa will kill you for this.
I'll ask again. Do you want a cup of coffee?
Hell with you!
Suit yourself.
Frank had a cup of coffee and a smoke, and then stood by the window and watched as Marshal Wright rode out with the hastily formed posse. Then he walked over to Doc Evans to check on Big Ed.
Come on in, Frank. I got Ed up and walking. He's all yours, if you want him.
I'll walk him over to the jail. He can pay his fine and get out of this town.
You've really made a bad enemy, Frank. I hope you know that.
I got more enemies than I have friends, Doc. Don't worry about it.
I watched that shotgun-toting crazy woman on the mule. Friend of yours, Frank?
Huh, not hardly. She thinks I'm Val Dooley, and she's in love with him.
I can't imagine why. If ever there was a man who needed hanging, it's Val.
So I'm told. He's done some despicable things, the way I hear it.
Well, just raping, looting, killing. Genghis Khan didn't have a thing on Val.
I read about that Khan fella. He was a bad one, for a fact.
You've read about the Mongol conqueror? That's very interesting, Frank. You like to read?
Oh, yeah. I always carry books with me.
Interesting. Certainly changes my perception of you, Frank.
Oh?
That isn't important. You ready for Big Ed?
Let's do it.
Big Ed was sitting on the side of the bed.
Let's go, Ed. You can pay your fine and the one for your boy and be on your way.
I ain't paying no damn fine, Morgan.
Then you can post a bond and still be on your way. When the judge gets here, you can settle up with him.
Yeah. All right, I can do that. You bang me up pretty good, Morgan. I won't forget it.
That's up to you.
We'll even up matters. You can count on that.
Keep running that mouth, Ed. You're talking yourself right into a jail cell.
Listen,
you're only making matters worse, Ed. So shut up, will you?
Ed gave the doctor a dirty look, but closed his mouth.
Let's go, Ed.
Ed nodded his head and walked through the outer office, opened the door, and stepped out onto the boardwalk.
That's my boy, Morgan.
Just like you, Ed.
Huh? What do you mean by that?
He's got a big mouth and thinks he's tough.
You goddamn smart ass.
Move.
Frank let little Ed out of his cell and handed him a mop and a broom.
What the hell's that for?
For you to clean up the mess you made of your breakfast.
I ain't mopping no damn floor. Hell with you, Morgan!
And you stay in there until you decide to clean it up.
Pa!
Clean it up, boy!
You mean that, Pa?
I said it, didn't I? Now damn it, clean the mess up and let's get out of here.
Here's a bucket. Now get busy, boy.
I'm gonna get you for this, Morgan.
I keep hearing that over and over. Can't you two think of anything else to say?
Big Ed and Little Ed glowered at him and remained silent. Frank motioned Big Ed into the office and told him how much the bond would be. The rancher tossed some money on the desk, and Frank wrote him out a receipt.
Are we free to go, deputy?
Any more grease on those words, you'd have to get a bucket for the overflow.
A lousy damn gunslick toting a badge. I never heard of such.
You were a fast gun, Ed.
Prove it.
It's nothing to me. As a matter of fact, I envy you for walking away from it. I'm not gonna tell anyone.
You can't prove a damn thing, Morgan. It's dead and buried.
Good. I'm glad for you. And I mean that.
I got out in time, Morgan. But you never will. It's too late for you.
I know it.
Someday somebody will come along that's faster than you, and it'll be over.
I know that, too.
Well, that someone just might be me.
I doubt it, Ed.
Johnny Vargas might be the man.
He's fast, for a fact.
I'm ready, Pa. I done cleaned up this shit.
Come on. You and me, Drifter. We'll meet again.
Probably. But the next time, only one of us will walk away from it.
Big Ed and his son stalked out the front door. Marshal Wright and the posse rode back into town about mid-afternoon without Alberta.
Lost our trail. That woman's tricky.
She is that. And crazy as a lizard in a loco weed patch.
You know her better than me, Frank. Big Ed and son.
Paid their bond and are gone.
Big Ed give you any trouble?
Just a lot of mouth.
Well, that's normal for him. But you be careful, Frank. Big Ed is a dangerous man, and you made a fool out of him. He won't forget.
Tom led his tired horse to the livery, leaving Frank standing alone on the boardwalk.
Deep in thought, Frank?
I reckon I was, Laura. I do that on occasion.
Care to share your thoughts?
They might not be anything suitable for a lady to hear.
I'm not so prudish, Frank. I don't shock very easily. You might find that out someday. Did Marshal Tom apprehend that dreadful woman?
No, and I have a strong suspicion Alberta will be caught only when she wants to be.
You may be correct in thinking that. I have heard that many deranged people are actually quite sly about certain matters.
Frank nodded his head at that, as his eyes locked on two riders drifting into town. His eyes narrowed as he recognized the pair. Idaho Red Reeves and Jim King Burke. A pair of really bad ones. Frank knew they were wanted in several states, but obviously not in California.
You know those two men, don't you, Frank?
Yeah, gunslicks, both of them.
There certainly seems to be quite a number of rowdies gathering in this town.
Yeah, there sure are.
Frank watched as the pair of gun hands dismounted. Idaho Red spotted him and said something to King Burke. Together, the men stood by their horses and stared at Frank.
Are those two ruffians laying down unspoken challenges directed at you, Frank?
You might say that.
And you're picking up on that challenge, aren't you?
I'm not backing down from it.
It must be a male sort of thing.
Oh, it is, Lara.
Will there be shooting?
Not now, but it'll come in time.
Why?
Because I'm me.
Frank, that makes absolutely no sense to me.
I'll try to explain it sometime.
Promise?
Of course, if it's important to you.
It is. Those men are walking over here, Frank.
Idaho Red and King Burke were walking across the street. Frank slipped the hammer thong off his peacemaker and waited.
Whoa, Morgan! Whoa! No need to go for your gun. We ain't looking for no trouble here. Just some conversation.
Conversation is free, Red. What's on your mind?
A bath, something to eat, and a bed for starters.
Uh-huh.
Mighty pretty lady with you, Morgan. Yours?
No. Her husband is a local attorney. What are you boys doing here?
I don't figure that's any of your affair, Morgan. Far as I know, it's still a free country.
I can make it my business.
Easy, Morgan. We're just passing through.
Plan on staying long?
Maybe. All depends.
On what?
Before either of the gunslicks could reply, a drunk staggered out of the Purple Lily.
Goddamn sick!
Vile! Deputy, I demand you do something about that miscreant.
Certainly, ma'am.
Before Frank could make a move toward the drunk, a friend of the man came out and led him back into the saloon.
Problem solved, ma'am.
The woman gave Frank a dirty look, gave Laura an even dirtier one, and walked on.
Mrs. Hochstetler, one of the town's most active busybodies.
See you around, Morgan.
Idaho Red and King Burke walked back across the street and entered the Purple Lily.
I think there will soon be talk about us.
There already is. The town's gossip machine has been very busy.
I'm sorry about that.
I'm not. I'm not a bit sorry.
I'll never figure out women. I'm gonna stop trying.
Frank walked over to the Purple Lily and stood at the end of the bar.
Coffee, please.
I hope you won't be staying long, Morgan.
Are you trying to hurt my feelings?
Morgan!
Do I know you?
Yeah, you do, Morgan. You killed my partner, Bud Jenkins, a few years back. Remember him?
As a matter of fact, I do. He was a back-shooting, woman-molesting piece of shit, as I recall.
Damn you. He was my part!
He was a sorry piece of trash. What's your name?
Long. Long Bailey.
Ah, yeah. I remember you. A horse thief and a back shooter. You're wanted for murder in Texas, right?
God damn you!
What do you want, Bailey?
You, Morgan!
What do you think you're gonna do with me, Lon?
I'm going to kill you.
Doubtful, Lon. Real doubtful.
I'm ready to do it, Morgan. How about you?
No. I think I'll finish my coffee. Well, this is real good coffee. You should try some, Lon. Might calm you down.
I don't want no damn coffee.
That's a shame. I would think you might want to live a bit longer. But, I guess not.
I ain't gonna die, Morgan. You're gonna be the one who dies, and I'm gonna be the one who kills you. What do you think about that?
Nothing.
Nothing?
That's what I said, Lon. Something wrong with your hearing?
Huh?
Must be.
There ain't nothing wrong with my hearing, Morgan.
Good, Lon. Not that it matters much to me.
God damn you. Are you gonna put that damn coffee cup down and face me, Morgan?
Soon as I finish it, Lon. Don't be in such a hurry to die.
I ain't gonna die, Morgan.
Are you trying to convince me or yourself?
I don't need no convincing, Morgan. I'm better than you and I know it.
A lot of men have said that, Lon. I'm still here. I'd give that a lot of thought if I was you.
I don't need to ponder nothing neither, Morgan. I know what you're doing. You're trying to confuse me, ain't you?
I'm trying to save your life.
Bull!
You ready, Lon?
I reckon I am, Morgan. Make your play, Drifter.
This is your show, Lon. You wanted this, not me. You want a gunfight, you start it.
You killed my pard, Morgan.
So you said.
He was a friend of mine.
You said that too.
I gotta even things up for him. I think that's my sworn duty.
You need to do some more thinking about that, Lon.
Huh?
Your friend braced me, Lon. I didn't start it.
You still killed him?
No doubt about that.
I reckon I'm ready, Morgan.
Then drag iron, Lon. Let's get this over with. I'm tired of waiting. I want another cup of that good coffee.
What you done drunk's gonna be leaking out of your belly, Morgan. Pull on me, Morgan.
Sorry, Lon. You wanted this. You started.
Damn you, Morgan. You're yellow. Now, Morgan! Oh, you bastard.
It was your game, Lon. You wanted to play.
It wasn't supposed to be me on the floor, Morgan.
Damn you!
There's Doc Evans! I'm waving him over here!
Maybe I won't die.
And maybe pigs fly. You're hard hit, Lon.
Well, that's a hell of a thing to tell a man, Orvis! Oh.
Orvis Handy, from down in the Cherokee Strip. Frank thought he looked familiar.
Well, here's the truth, Lonnie.
Kill Morgan for me, Orvis!
That's a hell of a thing to ask me to do.
Before Lon could reply, Doc Evans pushed his way through the swinging bat wings and looked at Frank.
No way out of it, Doc. And I did try.
I'm sure you did, Frank.
Doc Evans walked over to where Lon lay and squatted down, placing his medical bag on the floor.
Can I have a drink, Doc? I feel sort of weak all over more than anything else.
It won't hurt you. You're hit bad, mister. I have to tell you that.
Am I gonna die, Doc?
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Oh, my Lord.
You want me to call for the preacher, Doc?
Don't ask me. Ask this poor fellow on the floor.
How about it, Lon? You want a gospel shouter to look on you?
Oh, hell yes, it does.
Somebody go fetch Preacher Bankston. You, Ned, you ain't doing nothing. Go get him.
You reckon he'll come into a saloon?
Hell, I don't know. Ask him. Go on with you.
Give me something for the pain, Doc. I can't stand it.
More coffee, please.
You're a cold one, Morgan. I never in my born days seen anyone so cold.
What do you want me to do? Lead a prayer service?
A man entered the saloon. He carried a Bible in one hand.
Oh, my. Lead me to the poor unfortunate wretch so I can pray him into heaven.
Heaven? Hell with that. I want someone to patch me up. I ain't ready to go to heaven.
Here now. Everyone wants to go to heaven.
But don't nobody want to die.
I sure as hell don't.
Well, I can't do a thing for you. The bullet tore you up real bad. Make your peace with God.
Oh, Lord.
He hears you, son. I'll pray for you.
Thank you, parson. But could you get me some laudanum, too?
Doc Evans dug in his bag and handed Orvis a bottle of painkiller.
Let him sip this. It'll ease the pain some.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Preacher Bankston began praying, and Lon took a swig of laudanum. Doc Evans joined Frank at the bar.
Good coffee, Morgan?
That'll do.
Let me have some coffee. What brought on this shooting, Morgan?
Lon did. Too many hired guns in this little town, Doc. Something is definitely in the wind, and it stinks.
It's a rich town, Morgan, and Val Dooley knows it. I've thought for some time it would be a prize for him.
Could be. Something is sure building up to pop.
No, oh, I'm fading. Bury me deep so the coyotes can't get at me. Oh.
Your bullet tore up his innards, Morgan. He won't last long.
He brought this on himself, Doc. I can't work up much sympathy for him.
Marshall Wright walked into the saloon, rubbing his face. He walked over to Frank and Doc Evans.
I was taking a nap before supper. Damn good nap, too. Now, what brought all this on, Frank?
Lon Bailey wanted to kill me. He didn't make it.
I can see that. Now, why'd he want to kill you?
I shot a friend of his a few years back.
That coffee smells good. Let me have some. Afternoon, Clarence.
Marshal, did you just have to hire this man as a deputy?
Seemed like a wise thing to do, Clarence. You have a problem with Frank?
I reckon not.
You're not very popular in here, Frank.
I'm all broken up about that, Tom. I'll probably go back to the hotel and cry myself to sleep.
I'm sure.
Oh, the angels is coming to carry me home.
That's the spirit, son.
That's the laudanum I gave him. He's already drank the whole damn bottle.
He's bleeding all over my floor. Can't you all tote him out of here?
Oh, shut your blowhole. Let the man croak in peace.
Croak? I really am dying?
Yeah. Can I have your horse, Lonnie?
What a terrible thing to ask of a dying man. You're a heartless heathen.
I ain't neither. Lonnie'd want me to have his horse. It's a damn fine horse, and I'll take care of it.
I'd like to have his guns. Them's Colts, and I could use them.
Another heathen. Is there no compassion in any of you?
I'll take his boots. They look like they'd fit me, and mine's about all wore out.
Oh, my Lord, spare me this.
Y'all can take anything you want. I sure as hell won't have no use for none of it.
You're a good man, Lonnie.
The shame of it all. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
I does, too. You don't bury a man with his guns. That ain't decent.
How long is this going to go on?
Don't know. Might go on for hours, but I rather doubt it.
My wife's about got supper ready. Beef steak and mashed potatoes and gravy. I don't want that to get cold.
Go on home, Tom. I'll do the paperwork after lawn expires.
Thanks, Frank. I'll take you up on that. See you, Doc.
Get over here and do something, Doc. You can beat back these angels, can't you? I don't want to die.
Well, you should have thought about that before you braced Frank Morgan. There's nothing I can do for you now.
Oh, Lord. Them angels is getting closer. Oh.
I wish they'd hurry up. This is bad for business.
And you called me cold.
Well, I didn't kill him, Morgan. You did.
Them dark angels? I don't like them angels. I don't think them's angels at all.
Fight the demons, boy. Fight them. The devil sent his minions to get you. I'm praying for you. What's your name, anyway?
Lon Bailey.
Will you hurry up and die? I want to try out them colts.
Good Lord. I don't believe I'm hearing this.
Oh, I'm cold. Them dark angels is putting their icy hands on me. I'm afeard.
Don't be afraid, Don.
Lon. Them dark things are getting closer. I'm freezing, I tell you. And I can't help it. I'm afeard.
Do you believe in whatever Bailey is seeing, Frank?
He's sure seeing and feeling something.
Hang on, Vaughn.
Lon.
I knew that. Hang on, Lon. The Lord is with you.
How come I can't see him?
That's not his style.
No, Jesus.
That's the ticket, boy.
Oh.
Good God. I'm freezing.
It did get about 10 degrees cooler in here. I sure felt it.
Drink some coffee.
I think he's done passed away.
Doc Evans moved quickly to Lon's side and tried for a pulse. He could find none.
Well, better get hold of Pennybaker. Tell him we got a body for him.
I got first dibs on Lon's boots.
After Lon's body was carried off to the Undertaker's, the patrons in the Purple Lily quickly settled down, returning to their drinking and gambling. Frank stepped outside for a breath of fresh air. He decided to stroll down to the livery to check on Stormy and feed Wolf. After doing that, he returned to the office and prepared to shut it down for the evening. When he stepped into the office, there was a sealed envelope on the floor. Someone had shoved it under the front door. Frank sat down at the desk, tore open the envelope, and read the brief message.
Frank, please meet me behind the church at 6.
It was signed, Lara. Frank looked at the note, suspicion in his eyes. He really wanted no part of some illicit affair with a married woman, no matter how beautiful the lady might be. But deep down, Frank knew he would meet the woman, for the physical pull of the blue-eyed Lara was strong. He glanced at the wall clock. 5 o'clock. He leaned back in the chair and rolled himself a smoke.
I ought to saddle up and get the hell out of here. Leave this mess behind me. And I certainly shouldn't meet Lara.
A few minutes before 6, Frank was waiting behind the church, located just off Main Street.
Hello, Frank.
Lara, this is dangerous, you know.
I know. But this is a very isolated spot, and we aren't likely to be seen here. Besides, what difference does it make if we are seen? We aren't doing anything, just talking. I want you to take me away from here, Frank.
Beg your pardon?
Blunt, aren't I?
I'd certainly say so. You're married, Lara. Can't just ride out of town with you. Husbands have been known to object to that sort of thing. Usually violently.
My husband is only violent toward women, Frank.
He hits you.
He beats me. Sometimes with his fists, sometimes with a belt. He beats me into submission.
Why don't you leave him, Lara?
He won't let me. He threatens me every time I bring it up. I finally stopped doing that. Let me show you something, Frank.
Before Frank could say a word, Lara was opening the front of her dress. She was amply endowed, and the sight was very disconcerting to Frank, to say the least. There was a large bruise on her neck and bruises on her arms, both old and new.
All right, Lara. Button up your dress.
You doubt me now?
I never doubted you, Lara. I just don't know how to help you. Does he hit the boy?
Occasionally, even though I know he loves Johnny. But I'm very tired of him hitting me.
Move out. Get a room in a hotel.
I have no funds to do that, Frank. John controls the purse strings in our home.
I have an idea, Lara, if you're willing.
I'll do almost anything to get away from him.
Let's go see Doc Evans.
What good would that do?
It would get another person on your side. A person whose word carries a lot of weight in this town.
All right, Frank. I'm willing.
Come on. I'll walk you to the doctor's office.
People will see us.
You care?
No. I really don't. Not at this point in my life.
The gunfighter and the lady walked out of the grove of trees at the rear of the church and strolled up to the boardwalk on the main street of town. There were only a few people on the street, and they all stopped what they were doing to stand and stare at the unlikely couple. Frank opened the door to Dr. Evans' office, and they stepped in. The door to the examining room was open, and Doc Evans looked up from his desk.
Frank, Mrs. Witter, is something the matter?
There sure is, Doc. Lara needs to talk to you.
She has a medical problem, and she came to you with it?
She has a problem, for sure. I'll just step out of here for a moment, and she can show you, Doc.
She showed you? Well, she's already shown you. Why are you stepping outside?
Doc,
All right, Frank. All right, have it your way.
I'll be outside having a smoke.
5 minutes later, just as Frank was stubbing out his cigarette, Doc Evans stepped out of his office.
I need a drink. But it'll have to wait. I saw what John Witter did to Lara.
Fine man, isn't he?
The bastard needs to be horsewhipped.
I'll certainly go along with that. Did she tell you what she wants to do?
Leave him? Yes. Where do you come into this mess?
I'll put her in a hotel. I'll pick up the tab for it. I can afford it.
I'm sure of that. She needs clothing and other women's things.
Then we'll go to her house and get them.
Now?
Yeah.
Town's wagging tongues will love this.
Hell with them.
You want me to go with you, Frank?
I would appreciate it. That'd sure still a lot of the town's gossip.
All right. Let me get my coat.
At the Witter house, at the end of a quiet street, the trio halted.
I saw the curtains move. John always sits by the front window. He knows we're out here.
You want to wait until he steps out onto the porch?
No, because he won't. He'll wait to see if you and Dr. Evans go away.
Then he suspects you told someone about his beating you?
Probably. I wasn't home to fix his supper, so he knows something is wrong. I'm sure he was all set to beat me for not being home when he got here.
I hope the devil has a nice corner in hell picked out for wife-beating scum.
He wants his supper on the table when he gets home, and he gets upset when it isn't.
Your boy?
He asked my permission to spend the night with the Carter boy. I told him he could. But if he didn't get out of the house before John got home, he's probably in the house.
I hate that.
He's seen his father beat me before. I'm afraid he thinks that's what all men do.
I hate that even worse. For what you said, Lara, is probably true concerning the boy.
Let's do it.
What's the meaning of this, Lara?
I'm come to get some clothes, John. Kindly step out of the way and let me pass, please.
Some clothes? What on earth are you talking about?
I'm moving into the hotel for a time, John.
The devil you are! I forbid it!
You have nothing to say about it. I'm leaving you. Now be a gentleman about this matter and get out of the way.
Leaving me? You're leaving me?
Yes.
That's absurd, Lara. Have you taken leave of your senses? What on earth brought all this on?
You've beaten me for the last time, John.
Beaten you? You're accusing me of beating you? I have never beaten you.
Then explain the bruises on her shoulders, arms, back, and stomach, John. And the marks on the neck and throat.
Why, she's a very clumsy person, Doctor. She falls a lot.
John, you'll have to do a lot better than that. People in this town have seen me dance at social functions. They know I am anything but clumsy.
Damn you. You've been sleeping around with some lowlife.
I have not, John. I have never been unfaithful to you.
You whore! I'll teach you!
That's enough.
Damn you, Morgan. Are you sleeping with my whore of a wife?
I'm not sleeping with your wife, John. And your wife is not a whore.
I see she is.
Then you're wrong, John Winter, in addition to being a wife beater.
If I have struck her, rarely at best. She provoked me.
I'm sure she did, John. You're about a foot taller and 100 pounds heavier than your wife, and yet she provoked you.
What the business is this of yours, gunfighter?
She came to me asking for help.
And what favors did she bestow upon you for your help?
You're about to let your butt overload your mouth, Witter.
Get out! Doctor, Morgan, you both get out of my house. You, Lara, you stay. Get in here and forget all this foolishness.
I want my clothes, John. Kindly step out of the way.
You go to hell!
Where is Johnny?
Spending the night at the Carters. Thank God he isn't here to witness this.
I will certainly agree with you about that. Now get out of my way, John.
No!
Step out of the way, John. It's a free country. Lara has the right to come and go as she pleases. Either step out of the way, or I'll ask Deputy Morgan to forcibly remove you.
Oh, go get your things. I'm glad to be rid of you.
Will you help me get my trunks to the hotel?
Certainly, Lara. Frank, will you arrange for a buggy?
Right now.
Frank stepped out of the house and pushed through the crowd of neighbors that had gathered in the street in front of the Winter house. He walked to the livery and hitched up a team, then went to the hotel and arranged a room for Lara. The desk clerk looked at him with a number of questions in his eyes. Frank ignored the look and drove to the Winter house. The crowd of neighbors had increased.
What's going on here, Deputy?
Mrs. Witter is taking a short vacation, that's all.
You mean she's leaving that bastard? Good for her! She should have done that a long time ago!
Now, Sylvester.
Frank ignored the couple and walked on into the house. A pile of luggage was stacked by the front door, and he began loading the trunks onto the buggy.
You'd be sorry you had a hand in this, gunfighter. I have friends in very high places.
I'm sure you do. Now get the hell out of the way.
No!
John took a wild swing at Frank. Frank sidestepped, and John lost his balance and went stumbling out onto the porch, almost knocking down Doc Evans. John went rolling off the porch to land in a sprawl of arms and legs on the front yard.
God damn you all! God damn you all to hell!
Pitiful. Just plain pitiful.
It was well after dark when Frank stepped out of the hotel and rolled a smoke. He had gotten Lara settled in and all her luggage toted up to her room. Frank walked over to the cafe for supper, then lingered over a last cup of coffee while the waitress fixed a bag of scraps for Wolf. With Wolf fed and Stormy looked after, Frank went back to the office. Sitting down at the desk, he wondered if anything else was going to happen this day.
Lord, I hope not.
Frank took a greener from the gun rack, stuck a handful of shells into his jacket pocket, checked to see if the double-barreled sawed-off was loaded, and stepped outside.
He come from down that alley across the street, Deputy.
Obliged.
I seen some Simpson hats ride into town a few minutes ago.
Thanks.
When Frank approached the dark mouth of the alley, he moved swiftly and unexpectedly to his right, quickly stepping out of any line of fire. It was a good move. For the night was suddenly alive with gunfire, all of it coming from the darkness of the alley. Frank dived behind a water trough as other guns in the darkness of the alley joined in the barrage, the lead whining all around him. Frank rolled away from the trough and crawled under the raised boardwalk, crawling as fast as he could to his right, all the while staying under the protection of the boardwalk. The boardwalk narrowed down to the point where he could no longer stay under it. He rolled out, just as a man stepped out of the alley, both hands filled with six guns. Frank cut loose with both barrels, the buckshot catching the gunman in the belly, lifting him off his feet and flinging him backward, almost torn in half.
Good God!
I'm gone!
Now you wait just a damn minute, Morty! You ain't going nowheres! You know what the boss said!
Hell with you and the boss! I ain't going up against no greener at close range! Look what happened to Carl Lane over yonder! He's blowed nearly in two! I think I'm gonna puke!
Oh, well, don't puke on me! Shut up!
Both of you! You and Ned circle around the building and see if you can get a shot at Morgan. Now move!
What the hell are you gonna be doing, Cal?
Holding down this position. Now you and Ned move out and let's settle this mess.
Frank crawled to the edge of the building and looked into the darkness, waiting for someone to show himself in the narrow space between the two businesses. The boardwalk on both sides of the street was empty of foot traffic.
Oh, shit!
Damn it, Ned! Watch where you stick your big feet, will ya?
Fuck you!
Frank caught movement from the mouth of the alley and flattened out on the dirt, trying to see under the boardwalk. He caught a glint of light off a spur and pulled the greener to his shoulder. Another flash of light off the spur, and Frank pulled the trigger.
Ah, my foot! That bastard blowed my foot off! Oh, God, it hurts! Oh, kill him for me, boys! Kill that damn drifter! Oh, Christ, I can't stand the pain!
Where's your foot, Cal?
I blowed off, you idiot! I ain't got no foot no more! Oh, kill that bastard for me! Kill him, I say!
I will, Cal! Right now!
Morty came running through the night. Frank turned and leveled the greener under the boardwalk. He again saw the glint of light off of spurs and squeezed the trigger. Morty was suddenly face down on the littered ground.
I'm gone. Hell with this.
Don't leave me, you yeller coyote. You gotta help me. My leg is all tore up. I can't get up.
I'll kill you, Ned. I'll skin you alive, you yellow bastard.
Hell with you, too.
Frank, you all right?
I'm all right, Doc. But I got two wounded here.
Help us, Doc. We give up. My leg is tore up and Cal ain't got no foot. Help us!
Throw your guns out, boys. Do it right now. Doc, stay where you are until I get this area safe.
Two six-shooters were tossed out from the darkness. Several locals carrying lanterns walked up, casting light on the blood-soaked ground. Marshall Wright strolled up, carrying a shotgun. He stood in the street as Doc Evans appeared on the scene, carrying his medical bag.
Oh, look at me first, Doc. I'm bleeding bad.
Frank gathered up the weapons and put them in a gunny sack provided by Jack O'Malley from his general store.
Some of you men carry the wounded over to my office. I'm gonna have to do some sawing on this man's leg.
Give me some whiskey for the pain.
You know these men, Tom?
They work for Big Ed. Some of the gun hands he's hired over the past few months.
He pointed to what was left of Carl in the alley.
He came in here from Arizona, I think. You men over there, get some shovels and bags and help Pennybaker gather up what's left of Carl. Toss some dirt over the blood. Big Ed will deny any part of this. You know that, don't you?
Sure.
As soon as he's on his feet, Big Ed will come looking for you, Frank.
I'm not hard to find.
Want some help making out the reports on this?
No, I'll go and do it now. Go on back home and relax.
Thanks. See you tomorrow.
Before Tom could go half a block, four men rode in, walking their horses slowly up the street.
Trouble, Frank?
Might be. That's Sheriff Davis from Deweyville. One of those other men is his deputy. He's the one I smacked on the jaw getting away. Deputy Tucker. I don't know the others.
I'm looking for my sister. Have you seen her?
Get off that horse before I knock you off.
We all make mistakes, Morgan. I made a mistake in thinking you were Val Dooley.
When did you change your mind?
The day you busted out, I got word that Dooley had robbed a bank 50 miles north of my town. You couldn't hardly be in two places at once. Sorry about the trouble.
All right.
Frank told him about Alberta riding into town and shooting up the place.
My sister is not quite right in the head, Morgan.
You'll certainly get no arguments from me about that.
Anyway, no hard feelings, Morgan. I see you're toting a badge now. You've had more than a peck of trouble here, I see.
A mite, for sure. Big Ed Simpson's boys. Ed and me had a ruckus a couple of days ago. He came out on the losing end.
I've heard of Ed Simpson. Thinks he's the he-bull around these parts, don't he?
That's him.
I think Big Ed used to be a hired gun. That's the word I said.
I heard the same, but he must have changed his name. Never heard of any gun slick named Ed Simpson.
Morgan, do you have any idea where my sister is hiding?
No, she got away from the posse. She needs help, Davis.
I know. But getting any sort of real help is damn near impossible. The doctors I've taken her to all want to put her in some sort of asylum.
If she comes into this town again shooting up the place, someone is likely to put lead in her.
I understand.
But I'll do my best to keep that from happening, Davis.
Thanks, Morgan. She's my sister, you know?
Yeah. It's a nice hotel over yonder. You boys look like you could use some rest.
For a fact, we've been pushing it hard. We'll go get rooms, and I'll see you later.
Davis might turn out to be a decent sort after all.
Cal just died. Shock, loss of blood.
How's the other one?
Well, he'll probably live. But I'm not giving any guarantees about that. A shotgun is a nasty weapon.
Does the trick, for a fact.
Mrs. Witter is watching you, Frank. Not us, you.
Frank turned and looked at the second floor of the hotel. Laura was standing at the window, looking at him. She lifted a hand in greeting, and Frank returned the gesture.
You two have something going on between you, Frank?
Not yet, but there is sure something in the air that keeps circling around us.
So I noticed.
I haven't done anything to encourage it, Doc. At least, not much. I swear to you, Doc.
Okay, Frank. Whatever. Let me go see about the one who lived through this shootout. Talk to you later.
I see your luck's still holding, Drifter.
Looks that way, Johnny.
Carl and Ned was riding pards, Drifter. Ned will get his nerve back and come looking for you.
Not if he's smart.
I never said he was smart.
I'll be here for him, if that's the way he wants it.
So will I, Drifter.
What's that mean, Johnny?
Oh, just that, Drifter. It might be a good show, and I wouldn't want to miss it. Well, see you around, Drifter.
Vargas turned away, walking back to the saloon. Frank stood in the street for a few moments, watching as a group of locals gathered up bits and pieces of Carl, and then scrubbed down the side of the building and shoveled dirt over the blood spots.
Hell of a way to die.
Shh, name me a good way.
The locals walked away, and Frank turned to go back to the office. He looked up at Laura's room in the hotel. She was still standing there, staring at him. Frank lifted a hand in greeting and turned away. He was getting himself into a real bad situation, and he realized it. Trouble was, he was sort of looking forward to it. After Frank had breakfast, he took a sack of scraps down to the livery for Wolf and filled up the big cur's water bucket.
You're getting fat, boy. All this inactivity is making you lazy.
Wolf looked at him for a few seconds, then resumed his eating. After taking a long lap at the water bucket, Wolf lay down in the stall and promptly went to sleep. Frank stepped out into the growing light of early morning and looked around. Both saloons were still closed. The Swampers had not yet arrived for work. Frank walked to the office and unlocked the door. He built a fire in the potbelly, put on water to boil for coffee, then sat down at the desk and began writing up the report about the shooting of the previous night. Frank quickly got up, deciding to take a stroll around town.
Hey, Frank! Wait up there! Had breakfast yet, Frank?
About an hour ago, Doc. How's the patient?
He'll live, but he'll certainly have a limp for the rest of his life. The buckshot broke his leg in several places. Seen Ms. Witter this morning?
No, she's probably still asleep.
The town is, as the saying goes, buzzing with gossip about you and Laura.
Let them buzz. There's nothing going on with us.
Yet.
If you say so, Doc.
Come on, I'll buy you a cup of coffee. John Witter came to see me last evening. He admitted to striking Laura, but says he loves her and wants my help in persuading her to come back home. He thinks they can work it out.
And?
I told him forget it. Personally, I'm not telling you anything I didn't tell him. I think the beatings have been going on since the beginning. He's not going to change.
What was his reply to that?
He didn't deny it.
How could he? Some of the bruises we saw were days, even weeks old. Bruises on top of bruises, son of a...
And there's no attraction between the two of you at all, right?
Here you go, Doc.
Thanks.
Could I have some more coffee?
The place was filling up with hungry locals, and both the cook and the waitress were busy. It was while Frank was drinking his coffee that something he had not noticed at the livery finally dawned on him. The stable was practically empty of horses.
What is it, Frank?
Looks like all the hired guns that have been drifting into town have vamoosed.
Good riddance.
Maybe not for long.
What do you mean?
They might be gathering somewhere to plan out a raid.
Against this town?
Yeah.
I don't like the sound of that, Frank. Not one little bit.
Marshal Tom and I discussed it. I told you, didn't I?
Well, if you did, I forgot.
So much has happened in the past few days, probably forgot to mention it.
Frank told the doctor about Tom organizing the town's men in case they were needed.
Good idea. And did he?
He said they were ready to go.
There are some good men in this town, and they won't hesitate to protect what they've worked for.
I wonder if Ed Simpson is involved in this.
No. I'd bet my poke on that. Why would he steal his own money? He's a major depositor in our bank.
That answers my question, then. How about the new hands he's hired? Many of them are hard cases. Why'd he do that?
Well, that is something I can't answer. Unless...
What is it, Doc?
A rumor, Frank. Just a rumor, that's all.
About what?
Big Ed wanting to take over this entire area. That's a rumor that's been floating around for about a year.
What the hell would he do with it, Doc? From what I've seen, much of this area is not suitable for running cattle.
I understand he wants the area that is suitable.
Same old story, Doc. Greed.
That's about it, Frank. Ed has more money than he could spend now, but he's a man who is power hungry. He wants to be king and everyone else to be his serfs.
From what I've seen of the people in this town, I don't think Ed will get his wish.
Oh, he won't try to gain control of the town. But he has tried to run off some of the small farmers.
Tried or succeeded?
Yeah, he's intimidated a few of them. They pulled out.
The rest of them?
They've resisted, so far.
Big Ed Simpson, king of the county. That's quite a ring to it, doesn't it?
It's nauseating. Don't even think it. Oh, something else you need to know about, since you have no interest in Laura Simpson.
Very funny, Doc. See me laughing? What is it I need to know?
Big Ed Simpson wants Laura Witter.
He wants her?
Yes, he, lusts for her. You get the picture now?
I get it. Talk about laughable. Beauty and the Beast.
That, Frank, is a very apt description. Yes, indeed.
Does Laura know about Ed's, lusting after her?
Oh, yes. He acts like a lovesick boy whenever he gets around her. Or, as Marshal Tom put it, like a lost calf in a hailstorm.
That must be a sight to see. Not that I care to see it. What about Ed's wife?
Elsie? That foul-mouthed female scorpion. She doesn't care. She has her own lovers. Doesn't bother to hide it from Ed. He doesn't care. Hell, he hoards around. I don't think they've slept in the same room for 15 years or longer.
What a wonderful couple.
Oh, yes. The picture of marital bliss. Look, here comes Mrs. Winter now. My, my, doesn't she look nice this morning?
Yes, she does. But then, I've never seen her when she didn't look nice.
I do believe she's coming in here, Frank. Yes, she is.
Good morning, gentlemen. I hope I'm not disturbing you.
Not at all, Laura. Wouldn't you care for some breakfast?
Yes, I am hungry.
The waitress was hailed and poured Laura some coffee, then left to put in her order.
I must go and see to my patient. Nice to see you, Laura. Frank will sit with you during breakfast, won't you, Frank?
Sure. Of course. See ya, Doc. This'll really get tongues wagging, Laura.
I don't care. Do you, Frank?
No, not a bit, Laura.
Good. Pass the cream pitcher, please.
For a lady her size, Laura had a hearty appetite. She cleaned her plate, and the waitress filled her coffee cup.
So, what do you have to do today, Laura?
Avoid my husband, mostly. But I do want to see Johnny and try to explain to him what happened.
He's seen your husband strike you?
Many times.
I hate to hear that.
He tried to come to my defense several times, and John knocked him to the floor. Not even Dr. Evans knows that.
Then I suggest you tell him.
All right, I will. What's the matter, Frank?
Laura, are you aware about Ed Simpson's feelings toward you?
Oh, God, yes. That man is a pig. He's getting bolder and bolder every time I let him get near me, which isn't often. He scares me, Frank. I'm afraid he's going to do something really rash.
Like what, Laura?
Oh, I don't know. Kidnap me or something equally awful. I'm being silly and I know it, but he really frightens me.
More than your husband?
Much more. John is out of my life now, and I intend to keep him out. I shall file for a divorce as soon as possible.
Is there another attorney in town?
No, but I can go over to another town and file. Perhaps you could escort me, Frank. Would you do that?
Sure, if you don't mind getting the town's gossips really going.
I don't care. A lot of them already think of me as a scarlet woman.
I'm sure they're wrong.
Are you, Frank?
Yes.
You've only known me for a few days, Frank. Which means you don't know me at all. How can you be so sure?
I trust my instincts.
And what do your instincts tell you about... well, us?
I honestly don't know how to answer that, Laura. Not yet.
You'll tell me when you have a clear answer?
Oh, yes, Laura. You may be assured of that. No need to reach for your purse. Your meals are on me, Laura. I've arranged for the waitress to put them on my tab. She likes you a lot.
Clemmy is a nice person. We've been friends since the first day I arrived in town.
Morgan! Get out here, Morgan!
Who is that?
I don't know. Never saw him before.
I know you're in there, Morgan. Come out here and face me!
I'd better go see what he wants. As if I didn't know.
What do you mean?
He's a gunslick, or he thinks he is. He wants a reputation, or he thinks he does.
I don't understand, Frank.
He wants to kill me. Anybody know that fella?
I never saw him before, Mr. Morgan. He's not from around here.
Stay inside, Laura. This won't take long.